Afro, circus Afro, circus Afro, poke it up, poke it up, poke it up, Afro.
Here we go again.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Sheesh!
I hate you!
Hello and welcome, everybody. We are the Godfathers of Podcasting. It is Thursday, February 24th. It is 8.02 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we are broadcasting live right here on godfathersofpodcasting.com. In case you're late to the party and you haven't figured it out, we've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. Archives of this show, as always, are available on every major podcast provider: Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, dozens and dozens more. Video archives, as always, are exclusively available right here on godfathersofpodcasting.com. When you're on our website, pick up a new sweater, a tank top, a hat, or some other piece of official Godfathers merchandise and support your boys. You can send us a text right now on WhatsApp, or just use your regular text messaging service. It's 437-375-2000. Questions, comments, brutally honest feedback, bring it on. 437-375-2000. My name is Donnie DeSilva, and it is my distinct pleasure to introduce the vigilante and judo master to my peacemaker, Notorious T.I.D. Chris Tidwell, and my bro Danny O.
Wow, dude, you're just baiting up the scene out there with these names, because one of the things you just said is a working title of another project I'm working on. So,
oh
yeah, a lot of early revealers.
Is it Judo Master?
It's Judo Master, correct.
I was gonna say Judo Vigilante, the Vigilante Master.
That's it.
You know, people are just going to say Judo Master is just like a euphemism for anti-masker. You know that, right? That after your Freedom Convoy hit dropped, right?
Oh, that's, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
For those that missed that story, go back and check episode 88.
Well, of course, you know, that's because I got working on my follow-up record right now, which is, you know, Bomb the Ukraine. So, you know, I got to get that.
No, I thought it was Bombs Over Ukraine.
It is, yeah.
It's too soon, boys. What can you? Since I accidentally hit on the name of a new project, are you allowed to reveal, or is it still top secret?
No, it's because I don't even know for sure, and it's super early. But this has happened on this show because we had a guest come on, as you know, and reveal a title of a song that was tentatively one of my. And I feel like it's just like a jinx of us to do. But I've been super busy recently, being in and out of pre-production studio sessions, getting new beats, writing new songs, and I'm excited. I'm in album mode again, guys. So it's just weird to hear these names keep coming up on this show that I'm in the process of possibly using. So
all right,
maybe it's a sign.
Stay tuned, everybody, for Dan's next album, Judo Master.
That's it, Donnie.
Maybe. I think what happens is that he comes on here and he hears something that's really good, right?
And then he comes up with this story
that, like, oh, funny story. Funny you should say those words. I've already sent a letter to myself copywriting them.
His new album is called I've Been Rapping Since Before Rapping Was Even Called Rapping.
Yeah. There was that, and I'm Friends with Two Racist Assholes was the other potential title.
Are they coming on as guests?
Who are those guys?
We will have to have them on, because it's not you two. It's not you two, boys. How
Absolutely
are you guys doing,
not.
Man?
Doing well, man. Listen, I want to touch
this crazy world of ours.
Yeah, we got lots to talk about in this crazy world, but I want to start light and fun. I mentioned...
Because we didn't.
Yeah, well... We can get to some heavier stuff a little later, but I mentioned the tee up. I made my reference to the Peacemaker TV show. They had their last episode of season one this past week. Tid, I know you saw it. Dan, I don't think you're smartened up to this show yet, are you?
Haven't seen it yet. No, man. I've missed out on a lot of stuff. I was talking to my brother the other day. He listed all these shows that I've not seen an episode of. Yeah, I haven't got to that yet.
Peacemaker,
this is a show that I think, like, It star. I don't know if you're familiar, Dan, but it stars Tasty from Orange Is the New Black, and it's a story about her working for a company where she's got to like infiltrate this company, so to speak, right? Because her mother actually puts her up to it, and it's a very interesting story how they do that. The characters that they put around her is unbelievable. So you should really check it out.
Are you trying to tell him Tasty's the star of the show?
I know. I was what like, do where does John Cena come into this?
Where's what? John Cena was in it?
She's an amazing part of the show. She's definitely not the star. John Cena has earned his acting stripes, man. This guy is a genius in this show. He's absolutely over the top, amazing. He's hilarious. He has moments of emotion where you literally feel sorry for his character, and he's jerking tears everywhere, and then he's jerking himself, and he's doing all kinds of stuff. The show is such a surprise hit. I guess I should learn, don't ever question James Gunn, right?
Right.
But the show is such a surprise hit. When I heard them talking about, oh, the new Suicide Squad movie, I was like, eh, and then I loved it. And then they said, oh, there's a spin-off from the new Suicide Squad movie. They're making a TV show about John Cena's character. I'm like, really? Like, he's a little one-dimensional. You're gonna make a whole show. The show is amazing. If you haven't already seen it, go see it.
I think that's becoming a trend now, and I'm curious to know what you guys think of this new, seems to be new trend of having movie franchises branch off into series, because those list of shows I was talking to you about earlier, you've seen them all already. My brother was talking to me about Loki and WandaVision and Hawkeye and all of the Marvel stuff that has, of course, branched off the Avengers franchise. And I'm like, it's kind of dope now how not everything has to be a flick that you need to either go to the theater for or stream, but the series, the concept of having episodes end with a cliffhanger, click on the next one. Yeah. How much are you guys feeling this, what seems to be this new trend of these films end up in series that complement the films? Because I think it's really dope. I just don't have the time to see it all.
I think it's a product of the digital streaming services.
It is for sure.
They need content.
Yeah.
And the properties that are doing really well are thinking, shit, we can spin off, produce more content, providers are happy, and we're going to get richer.
Yeah, and I think there's something to be said about binging culture, because it's a little bit, yeah, it's a little bit different than the just, you know, this Saturday we're going to grab our popcorn and check out this flick. It's that obviously on your own time, you're able to stream it, but it's more than a film. Whether it comes out on a weekly basis or you decide to wait and binge, there's something about the binging culture that becomes part of the fun of watching. It's not just the show itself, it's the way that it's consumed, which is different than just going to the movies.
I think it's got to be an age thing though, right? Because I think there's so for myself, there's still some times where you look forward to like watching that one show each week.
Really?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I've absolutely lost that vibe. Because, I'm like, I don't want to wait a week.
Sometimes I do. And you have to think to yourself, when was the last time you did something like that? It was probably, you know, Dexter because you had to, right? True. Or even before that, it would have been like Sopranos. So I think that when you do get a chance to watch that, you know, that one a week, it's got to be a show worthy of watching one a week. There's shows that are really good out there that you could binge and feel just as good about it. You know what I mean? But then there's just some of those shows that like, man, and then it's on your mind all week long, and you know what?
It's a good point, man.
There's a positive to it.
It's a good point because Netflix kind of helped jumpstart the binge culture, but now there's this big push towards spreading out the content and getting maximum bang for your buck. Mm-hmm. As much as people love the binge, I get hooked in, and I can't unsubscribe, for example, from Disney Plus because they get me for 7 weeks on Boba Fett. Then they're going to get me for another 7 weeks coming up on Moon Knight, which is going to be dope as hell.
I think, yeah. The beauty of that is that it's both. They offer, okay, so you're going to have to wait a week, but obviously with streaming services, you do get to binge. Like, there is plenty of things, like I said, that I haven't seen yet. And my brother actually mentioned that in our conversation. He goes, you know why you're lucky? Because you don't have to wait that week. And when you watch it, you're going to end up pressing next episode. So I hear you, Tid, and agree. There is something about that. And there are shows. Dexter's one of them, because we watched that as it came out, the New Blood. And we were waiting a week. And you wanted to see the next one.
Well, part of the drama with shows like that, Dexter, Breaking Bad, was
for
the
sure
cliffhanger that, at every episode.
Yeah,
and the agony and the and yes. pain that you felt
exactly.
until next Sunday.
So do you think there's something to be said about relieving the viewer of that agony because they can click on the next episode right away?
No, that makes less money.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because you got to remember, people are getting away. Like the reason you're seeing all of these providers with all of these streaming services now is because people are getting away from traditional cable.
Yes.
So as they get away from traditional cable, they've got to come up with new and innovative ways. So you don't see the commercials as much, but what you're going to see is you're going to see the products inside of the programs.
Just to bring this conversation back to bring this conversation back to Peacemaker for a quick sec before we transition out, I got to say, James Gunn, the circular storytelling bastard that he is, the very first scene in episode one, he's talking to Peacemaker's talking to a guy in the hospital where he's laying up because he's recovering from an injury, and he's telling this caretaker, he's like, I'm a superhero. He's like, no, you're not a superhero. No, I'm a fucking superhero. And he's like, I never heard of you. Like Aquaman, he's a superhero. He's like, fuck Aquaman. He fucks fish, right? And then in the very last episode that aired this past week.
Spoiler.
It's a spoiler. I don't care. Go for yourselves. It's all over the internet.
It's been longer than 48 hours.
Yeah, it's longer than 48 hours, folks. That's the new thing. The big battle to end the season happens. Peacemaker is victorious. He's walking off the battlefield, and once the war is over, all these superheroes that he has talked shit about throughout the entire series, the Justice League, they all show up. And they show up like in shadow. And he sees them, and he sees them, and he goes,
"You're late, you fucking dickheads."
"You're late, you fucking dickheads."
And is that John Cena's voice?
Yeah. And then he keeps on going, and you realize those characters in shadow, it's really Jason Momoa as Aquaman, and it's really the dude that plays Flash. And then you see this part.
"Go fuck another fish, asshole."
"I'm so fucking sick of that rumor."
"It's not a rumor.
Fuck you, Barry."
Like,
wow,
that is the brilliant storytelling of James Gunn.
They paid the money to bring in
Momoa,
two of the Justice League. Yeah. You know what I mean? And to put as over the fucking gag written in the very beginning
about Aquaman fucks fish.
Yeah,
which I bet he does.
Well, I mean, who didn't think that?
I think it's
he tells.
I think it's beautiful though, the weaving in. I love the weaving in of what they're doing. Obviously, Marvel's doing it and DC's doing it to make it legitimate in that that's Flash, that's Aquaman, and it's part of that universe. I'm curious, though, given the language on the show, do you think DC is trying to take their universe in a new direction? Because you're not really hearing
super,
that kind of
it's
stuff.
It's super rated R, dude.
I'm saying, though, with Aquaman and Flash making an appearance, do you feel like they're going that way with whatever they do with those characters in those films?
I think what it is certain properties like the Suicide Squad, super fucking rated R.
Right.
Peacemaker, super fucking rated R. It's if there's a letter above R, that's it.
Wow.
Right. And that's, I think that's going to continue to be the approach they take for certain properties. You're never going to see a Superman movie where Superman's like, "Hey, Lois, go fuck yourself." Like, that's just not going to happen. Right. Jimmy Olsen, you're a pain in my asshole. Like, that's just never going to happen. But certain characters, they're edgier, they're harder, and that's what you're going to get.
I wonder if that'll work, though, for the universe, because everything's hardcore these days and edgy, you know, and
we'll find out.
People talk about DC needing a revamp of sorts. I wonder
what I do know is the ratings for the last episode of Peacemaker were monstrous, monstrous. Now, I did say that Peacemaker is one of the most surprising television properties to come out in a very long time. This next show that I want to mention might be number two.
"Now this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. And I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel-Air."
Okay, it's not that one.
You got the wrong theme music, bro.
It is the remix of that show.
And speaking of what I was just talking about, the remix should be like, Now, here's a little story. Motherfuckers know that when I was in Philly, motherfuckers wanted to go. I was like, yo, they have changed that show.
They changed the narrative, man. And
the narrative, yeah.
So
not the narrative so much, but the style.
They changed the style.
That's the beauty of this show.
The interesting thing about this show, and I know Tid hasn't had a chance to check it out. Dan, you have. I saw it as well. First of all, let me just ask you, Dan, before I jump on it. What did you think of what you saw so far of the new show, Bel-Air?
I've seen one episode, and I think it's interesting because I was prepared to not like it. You know what I'm saying? It's like
same
one of those, come on, you don't touch a classic. You leave it alone. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is one of the greatest all-time sitcoms, blah, blah, blah. We don't need this show.
Right.
And of course,
we actually made fun of this show a year ago on this program. When we heard the rumors of them making it, we're like,
yeah,
the fuck we need this for?
Yeah. And I think it's because we weren't prepared for what it is. And what it is, like I said, as we're talking about like DC adding Edge to their, you know, the Peacemaker series. Obviously, this has Edge. It has grit. It is like if the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was a true story, we're now watching it. You know what I'm saying? The fight on the basketball court, everything that comes of that life and that community and that issue, and trying to juxtapose that with what it is to battle racism and other forms of oppression in a world where you now are part of a rich family, and how that is. And it was funny, of course, in the sitcom. And Carlton was, you know, the butt of many jokes and everything. And now we're seeing those characters portrayed in ways where it's like, it's almost as if now I'm watching it like this is the real story that they made the sitcom about.
Right.
You feel me? As opposed to, you know, that was the jokey and that was the jokey interpretation of the real life. Because this is ill.
It comes across.
Could they do it?
So
could they
well.
Do it with another show though? Could they do it the other way?
Well, they did it with with Archie Comics, right? With Riverdale.
Well, that's the same way.
Same
that's
idea.
The same exact way, right?
But you know what?
Could you do it the other way? Could you make like Law and Order SVU into a sitcom?
Oh, good point. Right.
Yeah. it's called Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
but you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, that would be more like Hill Street Blues would have been Brooklyn Nine-Nine or something like that. But you know what I mean? Like that's an exception. Okay. It's a cop show because goofy cops are funny and stuff, but could you do it with like a serious, could you take 90210 and turn it into a sitcom? You know what I mean? Like, could you do it the other way?
I feel like they could today. It's like this is part of that culture we were talking about earlier where, you know, there's a new way to enjoy entertainment, right? We binge stuff now. We remake stuff in ways that it had nothing to do with the nature of the show before. So now you got me thinking. It's like, bro, what if Three's Company, you know, turned into, you know what I'm saying? And now you're seeing hardcore sex scenes for sure and Larry and Jack running batteries on chicks and God knows what could go down in like a
Larry's getting charged with date rape every day.
Oh, for sure. Oh, the amount of inappropriateness that would be going down. But
Mr. Furley's in jail for being a peeping Tom.
Dude, there's so many dark ways to take the shit we grew up loving, you know? And I think today's the nature of the way they write the shows. Also, as you talked about these streaming services, which essentially eliminate the need for worrying about like even language or scenes that you would generally not see on television, you know, during prime time. It would have to be edited. We're not looking like that's one thing that took me by surprise, Donnie. I wasn't expecting the language. Like I'm thinking Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So that now I'm saying like, okay. This is not the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
But the thing is they hit you with it in the first 10 seconds.
Right.
And you're like, okay. It's kind of like when I watched Titans for the first time.
Right. Good point.
And you watch Titans and you're like, oh, like Teen Titans, like this is going to be cute and fun. And in the first 10 seconds, you see the character that plays Robin and he's stopping a crime from happening. And all the bad guys are like, it's just Robin. He's not even got Batman with him. We'll fuck him up. And Robin beats the shit out of these four or five guys. And he drops the last guy by putting his face through a car window. And he goes, fuck Batman.
Yeah.
And I'm exactly. like,
that's always been the thing. Everybody's what? Known that about Robin. Batman had this utility belt. So he had all these props and shit like that. What did Robin have?
He had really thin tights on. That dude had to learn how to kick ass. For real, right?
Yeah. I gotta say, I love these stories told in this way. I remember when Titans dropped, and because my daughter's such a big Teen Titans fan, I'm like, Titans is not for you, baby. You cannot watch.
Not in any way.
And without missing a beat, when I grow up, when you grow up, you can watch.
When you're 40.
So by the way, I should tell you this because you might get a kick out of it, but stupid me was like, hey, baby, did you know there's a new Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Because she loves Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So she's like, yeah. I'm like, it's very different, though, but I haven't seen it. Do you want to see it? Bro, 10 minutes in, I'm like, Melina, you can't.
I can't believe she lasted 10 minutes.
Bro, yeah. Like, she got up to the fight on the ball court, and I was like, okay, baby, God. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Daddy, I know these
should
words.
Should you be telling this story on air? Where
I know, right?
Daddy made a mistake.
I know.
Yo, no. We might need to edit this last part out.
I know some of the stuff she's already seen. Not that I wanted her to see it, but like that was it. I'm like, I'll tell you how it goes. You're not watching this show.
The last thing I'll say about Bel-Air before we move on is I love the fact, and on top of everything that Dan just said, which I echo, they flesh out these characters that were very one-dimensional. Will was pretty much always silly and goofy, mm-hmm. except for the episodes where he was talking about his dad.
Right.
You know, Carlton was always over the top and comical. Hillary was always vapid and empty. Now all of these characters are fleshed out, and you see the reasons for those prominent character traits, which are still there, but there's meat behind them, you know? And like the first thing a friend of mine said to me, you know, Carlton, of course, the rich black kid living in Beverly Hills is a cokehead. That's not a surprise to anybody. That's exactly how it would be.
Yeah.
Is Jay in it?
Jay? Who's Jay?
Jazzy Jeff, man.
Oh, yeah. Jazz is in it.
Does he get thrown out the front door?
But Jazz is a way more developed character, too.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting show. Quickly, I want to touch on something else here. There was a really crazy scene that happened on Sunday. You guys know that I'm a huge basketball head. There was a college game that happened this past weekend between Michigan and Wisconsin. And let's just I want to recap actually, and then I'll show you guys a quick video clip, and then we'll get to our guest who's waiting backstage. Wisconsin is a much better team this season. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's no question. The game was under control. They're winning by 15 points. With 15 seconds left in the game, Wisconsin calls a timeout. This is like a unspoken rule in basketball. You don't do that shit, right? Mm-hmm. You just don't do that. The guy calls a timeout, 15, and the head coach for Michigan is longtime NBA player Juwan Howard. Mm-hmm. Juwan Howard was not happy. And Greg Gard, the coach for Wisconsin, says, hey, 15 seconds left. I have a timeout to give. I want to get my other guys who haven't played into the game. Now, personally, as a coach, I've done this before, not with 15 seconds and you're up by 15, but usually if you're down by a bunch of points and you want to get some guys into the game.
Yeah.
But there's nothing that those guys are going to do in 15 seconds that's going to benefit them as a player.
Right.
They're going to take a jog and the game's over, you know? So it's an asshole move to stop the clock when those guys just want to get out of there. They just want to leave. Well, here's what happened. Let's take a quick peek at what happened at the end of the game. Take a look.
There's Howard. He says something. Guard didn't appreciate it. They get locked up. Howard with a finger right in his face. And then the players start to chirp as well. And that's where Howard grabbed one of the Wisconsin assistants, Joe Grabenhoft, former Wisconsin player, and it spilled out into this.
Juwan Howard's going to have a problem.
Another look at Howard. Right there.
He's grabbing. He's going to have a problem.
So that's what happened. First of all, I'm curious to know both of you. I'll start with you, Ted. What's your visceral reaction?
I think out the gate, I laugh. I think it's funny. And here's why, because it was an open hand slap to the side of the head to the young guy, not even the guy that he was originally chirping with in the beginning. This was some other coach who just kind of came up out of nowhere, and he was assistant like, nah, coach. Son, you better set the fuck down, right? Is it acceptable? Not in the slightest. This is college. This is college ball. You know what I mean? Those days are long gone.
And you know that the second those players see their coach getting into something, they're like, green light, baby. Here we go. It's on. Now the players are all jumping in. Dan, what's your thought?
One of my first thoughts is I wonder what was said to him, because I find that so often we as people just watching this, we can't hear. Like, I've had this conversation with you, Donnie, where I'd pay money to hear arguments on the court, on the field.
Juwan explained what was said. Like, Juwan was trying not to shake hands. He did not want to acknowledge this man.
Yeah.
And then the coach was forcing him to shake hands, put his hand on his chest, and Juwan turned and said, don't touch me.
Yeah, but he hadn't struck him yet. Right.
There was some
pushback. And I'm wondering, my mind is on what made him lose it to the point of wanting to reach out and hit the guy.
Well, he says in the post game interview, he lost his cool. He was not happy about the timeout. He felt like it was disrespecting his guys. It wasn't cool. And he took all responsibility. He said, if the Big Ten feels I need to be suspended for the rest of the year, for the rest of my career, whatever the Big Ten says, I won't argue it. I'll support their decision. He owned it completely. Greg Gard has not apologized for anything.
Right.
It's very interesting to me, but Juwan has been suspended for the last five games of the regular season.
One of the reasons why I said I'm curious to know what was actually said or how it went down, because we know the context, but like in that moment, what was said and how was it said? Because part of it, I know it's a completely different scenario, reminds me of Masai Ujiri when the Raptors won the championship and his attempt to get to the court and the incident there. And the incident is usually such that the person of color in the situation is seen as the aggressor unfairly and unjustly. And in this situation, you know, tensions are so high right now outside of basketball in the world with respect to, you know, disparity between races. And I just wonder what context Juwan Howard was feeling in that moment. In other words, what was said to him, how he was being made to feel to bring him there. Because I know you want to wrap, but I think this is important because there's a quote I found online from Ray Jackson, former Fab Five player. And he said, a big black man putting his hands on a white man is one of the scariest things for white America. Juwan should have never been put in that position to have to control his emotions. A coach grabbing you, pushing your players, that's ridiculous. I'm curious to know your thoughts on that, because there are times when, and why I bring up Masai Ujiri, even though I know this was a different scenario, is that I often feel that we're, and I speak on behalf of my community, put in positions to feel like we're the aggressor, even though the disrespect was handed to us first and our reaction was seen as the problem versus the thing that begetted the reaction. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I got you. It's a fair point. I will say, as a longtime basketball coach myself, regardless of race, whoever did that should be suspended. But I also think Greg Gard should not go without punishment. He received a $10,000 fine, which is a joke thing for a man like that.
And by the way, I'm not trying to say that Howard doesn't deserve a suspension. I'm just saying there's, I always feel there's just more to what's going on when a person of color reacts that way, because it's always seen as
next. I feel like you got very aggressive with that look in your Dan. So.
Surprise, surprise, right?
You're scaring Tid.
I just feel bad that the event.
Right, I feel threatened. I feel threatened by your giant hands right now.
I feel bad that his giant hands slid on the guy's face. Like, it's not a good slow motion replay. You know, you want to be able to go, like, he got decked. You know, like when Odor punched Batista? Like, he got decked, bro. Like, this was a slide. He slid his hand. And it's not the best. It was
kind of a facial massage.
that's all he did. You know, everyone has to come down on the big
back. It was a caress.
And all he did was a caress a man's.
Yes.
Come on. Right? That's what I'm talking about. All he did was caress a man.
We are going to
Maybe he had extra lotion on his hands.
You know when you get a little extra?
He was just shoving, right?
That's all it was.
See? Now we're
cocoa butter. Had too much.
We're gonna go to our guest right now, but I just want to throw out this one last story, and I'm gonna hit this in 30 seconds only because I think it's interesting and it's timely. 16-time world champion wrestling icon Ric Flair. He recently split from his wife of some time, Wendy Barlow. But the news came out today that Flair and Wendy Barlow were not actually married. They did have this massive ceremony that was attended by many, many people that were friends with, but the two were never legally married. It was just a big party, and they never actually got married at this wedding. So Rick says, wedding's over. This past weekend, Ric Flair, who turns 73 tomorrow, was spotted at LAX airport with a new ting. And Ric Flair's new squeeze appears to be 28-year-old Kelly Brewster.
Oh my God.
The paparazzi grabbed pictures of Brewster.
Hold on. Please tell me he calls her
his mask.
Please tell me he calls her Punky.
I give you 2 taps and a Ric Flair.
Woo! Still riding in style, man.
And that's it for that.
Nature Boy.
Nature Boy is all boy. he is gonna style and profile to the day he dies, man.
Indeed, man.
Longest line, oldest ride. That's Ric Flair. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time right now. We have to move on. A bunch of you are texting in. We'll get to your text messages shortly, okay? I promise. Because our guest has been waiting backstage patiently. Our featured guest this week is a Toronto-based singer and songwriter. She's out of the SoCan incubator and has been absolutely killing it on the R&B scene. She's been heard on the R&B radar, Ear Milk, Escape Tracks, and played electrifying live shows all over. She even had the opportunity to play Flair Magazine's Lilith Flair series, as well as taking part in shows for the Remix Project, Artscape, and more. Her soulful voice has the ability to transition from a soothing hug to heart-piercing intensity. Her lyrics are smoother than mulberry silk and definitely help her stand out in a genre that is just packed with talent. It's only fitting that in our last episode of Black History Month for 2022, we welcome this proud Black woman who is a beacon and advocate for change. She's also a strong voice for the LGBTQ2S+ community. She has a brand new single that was released today entitled Little Lies that literally sends chills up and down my spine. Ladies and gentlemen, take a big heaping cup of Erykah Badu, a tablespoon of Janis Joplin, a pinch of Billie Eilish, and a heaping handful of badass, and you have this week's guest. This is Milo.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
We are doing very well. How are you?
Pretty good. That was probably like the best intro I've ever had. So appreciate that.
Take a drink.
What he does, and now it's all downhill from there, unfortunately.
Oh, guest likes my intro. Okay. I get to have a drink.
No, it's good to have you. Thanks for being on the show.
What's good, Milo?
So many things. I'm happy to be here. Yeah. I just released my single. Thank you. I just released it today, the studio version. And a couple of days ago, I had it featured on Colors, which is like a dream come true. So yeah, things are really good right now. I'm in a good space. I'm happy.
I know it's only been out for a few hours, the new single. What response have you received so far?
All good things. I feel like firstly, my team was just like super excited about it. They're like, oh, this is like for sure the next hit kind of thing, like for myself. And so I feel like people are really enjoying it. Like the Colors thing was super amazing. That was like the best way I could debut a single at this moment. So, so that's all been like super amazing. And just like opening up a lot of doors. So yeah.
Well, I'll give a response to it. Little Lies is really dope. So congratulations
you.
On
Thank
that.
You.
And why I really like it. And this, I got a follow-up question is because I love soul music. I love neo soul music. Mm-hmm. And as much as I'm an old school golden era hip hop head, I find that what I'm listening to the most is stuff that's funky and soulful. Like I got the new Snow Allegra album playing nonstop. I don't know how much you're into her. I wanted to ask you about that. Because when I heard Little Lies and some of your album, mm-hmm. I'm like, that smooth, soulful, from the heart, hit you in the heart R&B is what I like and what I've always liked. And I'm curious to know how you got influenced to make that kind of music and where you see where that genre belongs today. You know what I'm trying mm-hmm. to say? Because it's chill and it's real and it's not like what you normally, you know, what you get
it's
from
not like on TikTok and shit.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like that real shit. That's my point. And where does that come from for you?
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the music that I make has always been kind of that slower, more soulful, more just like heartfelt stuff. Cause it's just like music for me is just like my therapy. It's like my way of expressing myself because I don't really do it as much like just in person, and so it's just kind of like always been that like soulful R&B for me that really lets me just like be real and like mm-hmm. Let loose, and then I think there's becoming like there's a space that's kind of building for that more with like the Snow Allegras and like all the like more R&B stuff that's coming out. But I do feel like it's interesting because R&B is like so many different things. Like genres are so weird right now that it's like hard to like really kind of put yourself into one space. And I feel like with TikTok and everything, with all that like more upbeat stuff being like so cool mm-hmm. or like those Euphoria type style things being like so in right now, I think it's cool that R&B kind of still always will have a place in a lot like in everyone's hearts. And like and I think like actually speaking to Euphoria specifically, I feel like that kind of stuff is opening up that kind of alternative R&B, really deep soulful stuff again. Mm-hmm. So it's like there's spaces for it, I think specifically in like cinematic scenarios. I think.
Milo, musically, do you feel musically like you might have been wrong, born in the wrong decade?
Absolutely.
Kind of my point.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to sum up what you're saying, Danielle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I mean, you really do have this old world charm to your sound, right? And it is a really it's one of those things where like and don't take this the wrong way, but I feel like I have to be in the right headspace to listen to hours and hours of this kind of music because I'm either going to get really really sad or I'm just going to get put into this very chill headspace.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm just not in that place, you know,
but funny. It's funny. I see it as two kind of different, but two places, but kind of different for myself. I'm in like one of these like smoky New Orleans, you know what I mean? Yes. Bars just kind of chill, right? Like just getting lit and chilling. Or let's face it, you're in the bedroom.
Whoa. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Whoa. Whoa. Like it's some love making music.
Honestly,
there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
Thought that before too.
Milo does not want to know that you're knocking boots to her music.
Actually, you know what? I do appreciate it because you know what? I feel like I'm a sexual being and I make music in a with that kind of tone. And so why not like have other people experience that also?
Yeah, but it's Tid.
Okay, well that's true. Well, now I know
he needs
to
bang the metal.
I mean, it's more than just me. It's not just me. There's somebody else involved.
It's usually just you.
Can I ask you though? Can I speak to the therapy? You mentioned music being mm-hmm. a therapy, and I mm-hmm. completely relate to that. And I feel like it's interesting because Donnie made a good point that some people, when I talk to them about my favorite mm-hmm. types of music, they'll refer to sadness as being a feeling that they get when they hear that music. And I can understand that based on like some of it's, you know, very mellow and what have you. But like Sade, who's in my top three favorite singers ever, is in that category. I mentioned Snow Allegra, Ella May. Mm-hmm. Like these are artists that I don't feel sad when I hear the music. Yeah, the therapy for me, and these boys know this from off-air conversations, I need to relax. And I love...
On God, this man needs to relax.
Yo, and on God, like, Milo, your music is like, I can play it from top to bottom and go, I need to put her on because I need to be in that headspace. So I'm curious to know about your headspace and the therapy that you both get from it, mm-hmm. and the therapy you're trying to give your audience, because we need it. I know I do.
Yeah. Well, I like that you said that it's not like sad, even though the beats can be like mellow and that kind of stuff, because it's not. A lot of the stuff that I'm like speaking to in my music is like not necessarily like, so it can look like it's speaking to heartbreak, but a lot of the time, for example, it's speaking to my own understanding of, you know, what I'm going through in any relationship or like just my relationship with myself.
It's a full journey.
Yeah, exactly. And even, for example, with Little Lies, I'm just kind of speaking about how like we all just like tell ourselves these little lies to protect ourselves from life, you know, to protect ourselves from reality. And I think a lot of the times when I'm writing, I reveal the real truth of these lies, and which I wouldn't do if I'm just like having a conversation with you. Like, I wouldn't tell you my deepest, darkest truths, but in music, I can just like release it. 'Cause it's like, yeah, people are going to hear it. I mean, totally. That's the goal, but like, you know, like, I don't know. It's like a different sensation. I'm not watching you listen to my music.
Yeah. You feel so, like, empowered.
You know, but,
no, I get you.
Yeah. I think it's really cool that people can feel something from it, whether it's the same thing I felt or something completely different. And that's also why I like to be kind of broad in my music writing as well.
Milo, normally in the first half of our program each and every week, we talk about stuff that's in the news, stuff that's on TV, whatever interests us in that particular week. There was a couple stories I wanted to touch on. We didn't get an opportunity. I wanted to see if I could bring these up and throw them at you, especially because you are a proud and prominent member of the Pride community. So I wanted to throw this out at you and see, I mean, I already know what your response is going to be, but I'd like to give you the opportunity and the platform to respond. So the first one is the Don't Say Gay bill passed today in Florida. This bill bans the discussion of gender identity, sexual orientation, and sexual orientation in elementary schools. It passed with a vote of 69 to 47. So this bill will now go to the Senate with an opportunity to be passed as law.
Wow.
How hurtful is that for you to hear?
I just think it's ridiculous that we're still even in the space that's a discussion, that it should be a law. You know, it should just be what it is. Like, we're all like, I don't know. I just feel like we should be beyond this at this point, because what is somebody's like gender and sexuality doing to prevent you from living your life? You know, it's not doing anything. And at this point, it's allowing them to live a life that they feel is true and pure to themselves. And why not, like, you know, like, we should all be at this point now where we can just like be. And so that's like just annoying that that's even part of the conversation. And of course it's going to be like, it's, I mean, over there. Yeah.
I don't remember who said this many, many, many years ago, but I've always thought it was one of the most poignant analogies, right? Being upset about somebody's sexual orientation, gender identification, or anything else is like standing in line behind someone at McDonald's and getting pissed that they ordered chicken nuggets.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, why do you care? Like, why did that enter your mind even for a second? Like,
get your filet of fish and fuck off.
That's so true, man.
The same member of the Florida House of Representatives that brought in that Don't Say Gay bill, Joseph Harding, this piece of shit, he also brought in a bill to Florida this past week, which will, this one's going to piss you off. This bill will require schools to out LGBTQ students against their will, even if the school believes outing them could result in abuse, abandonment, or neglect. They're literally trying to make this law that they will force outings.
That's just dangerous. Like, that's genuinely dangerous. Like, you guys are worried about school shooters and stuff, and you have and all this danger, and you're implementing even more dangerous laws where people are going to get hurt just for being.
It's insane.
And it's a child. Like, these are children we're talking about, not just like, I don't understand.
The sad commentary to me is that in 2022, it is still dangerous.
It absolutely is.
That to me is the even sadder part.
What could possibly be the benefit of forcing a young person to out themselves? What is gained?
Control. It's all about
exactly, and that's what it's always about. Yeah.
And in terms of what it's about, I mean, this might give you a thought process into what these people are thinking. Tid brought a story to my attention before we went to air about a Texas governor who wants family services to investigate all trans kids and charge parents with abuse and endangerment. So this is part of the forced outing mentality. If we can make them admit that they are gay, lesbian, queer, you know, bisexual, two-spirit, whatever they choose, whatever they identify as, then maybe we can fix them, you know? Maybe we can get the evil out of them.
That's ridiculous.
Here's what we have to remember about these people that are making these laws, guys, that we fail to...
They're in Texas.
Remember is that they're... Well, it's not even just Texas, because there's other states that have done similar things already. What we're talking about is we're talking about... very religious driven breeders. They don't know any other life other than to breed. So when something comes along that isn't exactly that, isn't that vanilla missionary bullshit that goes along with reading this fucking bullshit, they get mad and they lash out at it. And I think that's, you know, that's exactly what they're doing, but they haven't, listen, this has been one of those games that they play, you know what I mean? Just to try to see where their following is, and it's bullshit because it's never going to work. It hasn't worked. It hasn't worked in tens of hundreds of years, and it's not going to fucking work now because there's a lot more people who may live a straight lifestyle, whatever the fuck, you know what I mean? Who are going to back their brothers and sisters from other communities. This is the fucking world we live in now, guys. Right?
It's the mentality that started the Crusades. Like, believe what we believe or die. And it's also beyond idiotic to even assume, as you say, with respect to this supposed regulation they want to pass, that the parents somehow are abusive because it's their doing. Like, they've raised their child in this way. I'm sure we all know people like this. I have people in my life who are far from trying to raise their child in such and such a way. And their children, they have gay kids, trans. They weren't raised that way. They just are that way.
Yeah.
So how do you even determine who's so-called an abusive parent versus not? If you're simply a parent who accepts your child for who your child is, you didn't raise them that way, but you love your children. And that's it. And now we're going to be charged or accosted for loving my child? This is the most backward shit I've heard in a long time, man. I'm sorry. I'm incensed. I'm sorry. It was your question too, Milo.
I'm just equally as shocked by where we're at.
It's insane.
Let's just switch gears real quick. We got a message on WhatsApp from one of our listeners. It says, Milo, what's good though? Just check the new track. It's fire. I'm from Wolfville, Nova Scotia. Okay. I'm 23, gay, mixed, but everyone thinks I'm Caucasian. I love singing deep, soulful R&B, but at my last live show, a group of black ladies told me to stop ruining their music. Wow. Any advice?
That's a great question. I'm also a mixed person, and so I understand where this person is coming from in the sense that they may not be completely accepted just for the way that they look by a certain community. I do think that people are going to say things all the time. You are mixed, but you are a Black woman or a Black person. Sorry, I don't know. And, you know, like, people are going to say what they're going to say, but it's up to you to continue to be yourself and to strive through that. Because literally, like, haters going to hate kind of thing, you know, just keep doing you, always, always keep doing you. And don't be afraid to, you know, shut those people up. Mm-hmm. Be like, this is who I am, mm-hmm. whether you like it or see it or whatever, you know.
I'm thinking you can probably relate to that too, right, Dan?
Yeah.
Oh, as a light, yeah. as a light-skinned brother in the hip-hop world.
Yes.
I can't personally say that I've been told to leave the music alone, you know what I'm saying, in that regard. But
that's because your shit's so hot.
I'm definitely with Milo. I completely back her statement. Be yourself. Do you? I'm also someone, I don't know if you can attest to this too, Milo, but, you know, being biracial, you're sort of a walking, talking, breathing example of not the antithesis of racism, right? Mm-hmm. The mixing of races is essentially there are humans created out of love and not recognizing segregation as viable. So when it comes to music, I feel the same. There shouldn't be segregation. There are mm-hmm. plenty of white R&B singers, rappers, obviously. And I have never felt, there's not come a time in my life where I've ever felt they need to stop doing our shit, unless they're doing it poorly. And they don't have to be Black, yeah. white, or any other situation. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, shit, I listen to Tuxedo. I mean, they're two white boys doing, you know, funk. And I don't care. You know, so I
like the Island Boys. I don't care.
They're, listen, yo, they're if dope. You're good at it, then you do it.
All in notes, baby. Like, what are you going to tell me? They're not dope?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yo, so to the person who sent that message, completely back, Milo, do you, man. Simple and plain. Like, don't let nobody stop you from being you.
I'm not going to be ashamed that I stand for the Island Boys.
Yeah, no. That joke didn't work the first time, Donnie.
Shut up,
everybody flew over it.
Shut up, Tid.
I think, though, this is important to say, though. It's about being authentic. To Milo's point, and not cultural appropriation. If you're just doing mm-hmm. it to bite a style, to mock a style, to exploit a style or a culture, there's a difference and there's something wrong with that. But if you are a legit straight up R&B head or hip hop head or whatever, you know, do your thing. Absolutely do your thing and stay true to the culture, stay true to the music and to yourself.
We've got another text message that just came in at 437-375-2000. It says, Milo, are you going to be traveling, performing, and where can we see you live? Where can we get information when you're performing?
Yeah. So I pretty much post all my information on my Instagram and all my social platforms at Milo, spelt M-I-G-H-L-O-E. So you can always find information for me that way. I do have plans to travel this year. I will be in New York and LA and hopefully back in the UK again. So if you're in any of those areas, hit me up.
There's another question that's here, and it says, who do you love outside of the R&B world? What do you like to listen to really get hype?
Ooh, to get hype. That's a good question. I'm like really bad at artist names. I just like listen to songs a lot. But honestly,
part of that streaming generation. This is
right now.
I don't know who it is. Just put on the playlist.
Because nobody owns like all a cassette the TikTok no more.
Songs right now that are lit. That's it. No.
Right.
But of course, like Lil Nas X.
Okay.
Honestly, like, he just gets me hype every time, and he's a queer man doing his thing. So absolutely, I'm trying to do a song with him. If you're listening,
gotta rock with yeah. Sid too.
Oh, absolutely,
from the Sid. Internet.
Yeah. There's so many amazing queer artists out there. Ray Khalil is also like super dope rapper, female rapper.
I love it.
Then of course from my city, there's lots of. Like my partner, Lillian Blumaken, dope rapper, Yazzie. anyway, there's lots of cool. I like to listen to, I guess, rap when I'm trying to turn out, but like specifically female and females in rap. Those ones usually are the ones.
Dan's I'm pointing. Like, Dan's one pointing more. At himself. Oh.
This yes. guy, what? How do you Dan? That dude.
Danny, yo.
Dan's just trying to work a collab. Mm-mm-mm. You're on mute, jerk.
And there's Dan's mic work.
Milo, sorry, I wanted to see if maybe we could put you on the spot a little bit before we say goodnight. Okay. And I wanted to see if maybe you could continue this tradition that we have on this show that we've recently started of having amazing, powerful vocalists that come on here and give us a little acoustic something, something.
I can do that for you.
That would
Since
be amazing.
I just released my single Little Lies today. I'll perform that for you guys.
So,
love it.
Exclusive. The day it comes out, live performance. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
It's Little Lies. In the morning, I see you staring back at me. The colors over my shoulders, and with you, I am everything. But I have never known your truth. And all you do is give me love. Take me back. All the things you lied about, I know where it's coming from. I can feel it coming up. I feel so. You were just emotional, baby, it's holding me down. And I know I can feel it all by myself, but I don't need to take. To the other side, please. I can hear you calling. See me in your life, side by side, wasted in this empty. There is nothing left for me. Why do I feel sick? Take the two words, listen to myself. It's a lie. Will you come home?
Milo, everybody. The song is called Little Lies.
I'm going to respond to that in a way she can understand. I don't know. Oh, this is. There you go. That's how many emojis. That's how many emojis you deserve right there.
For those of you not watching and just listening, Dan just put a screen full of fire emojis up on his mobile.
There's hundreds.
On his BlackBerry.
I appreciate it very much.
Dan, I know you were dying, man, listening to that. I know you're dying to just throw in a verse to that track. Don't lie.
Hey, listen, I am legit hitting you up to collab.
All right.
I am not playing with you. I am fully digging your music. Legit. Thank like you. This ain't just show talk. I'm a fan of that, that joint, your style, your voice. I'm all about that music, and no question, I'd be happy to work with you and continue to push your music out there. So keep doing it. I'm your fan.
I'm definitely going to keep it up. So
yeah. Will do.
You can hit her up on Instagram. It's Milo, and you can also find her music wherever you get music, up on Apple Music. You can get it on Spotify. We're going to have the links up on godfathersofpodcasting.com. Yeah. Make sure you go check out her shit. It is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
The new single out today, and there's lots of other music in her catalog too, y'all. Yeah. If you're just getting introduced to her today, then go back and check out the whole catalog because it's great. Milo, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you so much. It was a good time.
All right. We'll do it again.
Much love. Right. Keep it up.
All right. Good night.
That's Milo, everybody.
Yo, man. Legit fan. Legit fan. Like, I love that kind of music. And she's the real deal. Her voice is sweet. That music is dope. And yeah, I need that kind of music in my life, bro. For real. I will be reaching out for a collab. No joke.
Well, it works out too because you're like in full writing mode, right? You got your new songs 100%. And stuff like that. So, you know what I mean? It's good truly, to get a good ear on some different stuff, right?
Truly perfect timing. Daniel's
got his
is.
New album, Judo Master, coming soon.
And when Judo Master comes, trust me, you know, but that's my shit. I love that funky, soulful, real shit. So, yes, Judo Master will be.
Please make a song called Judo Master.
It's like I have to now. We're going to be getting texts like, when's Judo Master coming
If out? You watch episodes 3 and 4 of Peacemaker, you will want to make it a song called Judo Master.
Well, I just want to shout out one of my most recent releases because, yes, Black History Month is drawing to a close. And it doesn't matter that it is because every month we should be understanding and respecting Black history, culture, and music. The Freedom Marching Project is out. We've discussed it on the show. You can go to freedommarching.com to learn all about the movement and take part in its monthly newsletters you can sign up for. But I'm part of the Freedom Marching Project EP, so you can stream that everywhere. It's on Spotify and everywhere else you get music too. And it's over 40 artists who've collaborated in an almost We Are the World type way to speak out against hatred, bigotry, prejudice, racism, etc. And big shout to everybody who's on there. United Artists for Change is the official name of the group. Freedom Marching Project is out. And also because Black History Month is about to end, it is the final month that CBC Gem will be airing 21 Black Futures. So it's been out for a year. For whatever reason, they're taking it down. Apparently,
why would they take it down?
It was a one-year deal, to my knowledge. And my piece, 40 Parsecs and Some Fuel, is still up now, but is coming down at the end of the month. So go to CBC Gem, the free app, and stream 21 Black Futures before the month is up.
So when 40 Parsecs comes down off CBC Gem, can we put it up on Godfathers of Podcasting?
I'm going to look into that because I do have a copy and I will make sure that I have the rights to
do it. Well, shit. Why not, man? Yeah. If no one else is streaming it, we'll fucking stream it.
Agreed. Definitely down with that.
Tid, for your final thoughts this week, I would like you to respond to our last text message of the week.
Oh, boy.
This one came in from Carl. It says, I had a dream last week that Tid beat the mashed potatoes out of me. Then he cuddled me like a puppy. What does this mean?
Send me location.
Done the party. Click that button the party.
We are out of here, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of my bro, Danny O, and the Notorious T.I.D., thanks so much to Public Records and Milo for putting that together and for joining us tonight. And thanks to all of you for hanging out. My name is Donna De Silva. You know we've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. We are done this party, and we will see you next time.
Peace.